It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. According to sports journalist John Affleck, the sports lesson of 2013 is that words matter. He says this is a year in which sports found out that its culture of insulting players and, in at least one notable case, fans, just doesn't cut it in 21st century America. Mr. Affleck is the Knight Chair for Sports Journalism and Society at Penn State. He recently wrote an op-ed piece entitled Words Matter, Even in Sports, and he joins us by phone from New York. John Affleck, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's nice to be here.
And if you have a comment or a question for our guest, would like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can follow us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. John Affleck, how did you come to the conclusion that 2013 was the year in which the point was driven home that words matter in sports?
Well, let me just start out by giving you a little bit of my background. I came to Penn State earlier this year after a long tenure at the Associated Press, where I was a national manager in news and sports. And one of the things that I did every year about this time was wrap-up stories for the year. I sort of oversaw some of our stories in news and then in sports about sort of the themes of the year. And
the big
really,
stories.
Sorry?
The big stories of the year.
Exactly, exactly. Sort of coming up with, sort of eyeballing the stories of the year and just sort of looking to see if there was perhaps a theme that we could write about or a particular story we wanted to focus on as the year closed. And I think it was the Incognito Martin mess down in Miami that really drove it home for me that what we were really seeing this year was a set of stories in which the behavior of sports figures was just completely beyond the bounds of anything you would think of as acceptable in a professional environment.
And just for people who may not be familiar with that particular case, which is still being sorted out involving a couple of Miami Dolphin players, Richie Incognito, a veteran of the team, a defensive player who had been accused of
hazing. Right, essentially harassing one of his teammates on
Jonathan,
the offensive line.
Jonathan
Martin. A guy named John Martin.
Right. I'm sorry.
Including a voicemail that in which he used racial slurs and threatened Martin that's been widely publicized and which he's admitted that is his voice.
Right. And so these were slurs that I guess when people hear about this, they're shocked by it. But are they shocked by it, John, because they're not familiar with the culture of sports in which, let's face it, this kind of language, this kind of insult, this is nothing new to a locker room. You hear it all the time. Why have we become more sensitive to it now?
I think it's because in this particular case, what happened is Martin walked out on the team. And that is what took it to a level of being publicly known. It sort of blew open the locker room doors, if you will. And so now we know about it. And people are, people, particularly if you aren't familiar with sports, you have an excellent point that if you are familiar with sports, there's salty language in sports, and there's always going to be salty language in sports and ribbing and that sort of thing. And I'm not trying to say that needs to be eliminated necessarily, but there seems to have been a crossing of the line where it went from kidding and good-natured sort of interaction to being truly hurtful. And this case isn't the only one this year that we're talking about. Earlier this year, at Rutgers, the men's basketball coach, Mike Rice, was fired in April after a video, a compilation video, essentially, of his worst moments in practice was released by a disgruntled assistant coach. And, you know, he's cursing at the players, throwing the ball at them, grabbing their heads, shouting at them. He's completely profane, completely out of control, and he lost his job over it. The athletic director lost his job over it, and then as Rutgers tried to bring in a new athletic director, a woman named Julie Herman, who got the job, her candidacy was almost derailed by the fact that players, when she was a coach at Tennessee in women's volleyball, complained that she was abusive to them at that time. So when you start to put those sorts of things together, what you're seeing is when these moments come up, people who aren't necessarily sports people are looking at them and saying, hey, you know what? We can't just let athletes be athletes and coaches be coaches. There's a certain decorum that comes with playing on a big stage, and it's sports is behind the curve when it comes to understanding that and keeping behavior within a certain bounds of decency.
We're talking with sports journalist John Affleck, who formerly worked for the Associated Press and who is now the Knight Chair for Sports Journalism and Society at Penn State. He recently wrote an op-ed piece entitled Words Matter, Even in Sports. And we were talking earlier about the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin affair. By the way, Mr. Incognito is an offensive lineman, as you pointed out, not on the defensive side, as I erroneously said. He played his college football at Nebraska, which is a high-profile Division I program. He is a product of an environment in which college sports and athletes, particularly in a place like Nebraska, are placed in some cases, on a pedestal and are seen as being infallible. They can do no wrong. Is he a product, and is his behavior a product of a society that places too much emphasis, perhaps, on a student athlete's athletic prowess as opposed to how he behaves in other aspects of his life?
I would say there's definitely something to that, but it's a little bit more complex, I would say, than simply we just adore athletes. Incognito got booted from Nebraska for his behavior, and he's had trouble. He's had trouble at other stops along the way on his road to the Dolphins. But I think this plays into another thing that I touched on in the op-ed, which is that at a certain level, what the commonality is that big-time sports organizations want to win. So at a certain point, organizations will take a risk on a player because even if they have a bad history, because maybe the price is right and they think that person can win, can help them win. And Aaron Hernandez is another example of that from earlier this season. Aaron Hernandez, just on his skill level, was a very high draft pick coming out of the University of Florida, but he'd had serious problems with behavior. He did not test well in terms of social adjustment. But when he dropped, I believe it was to the fourth round, the New England Patriots felt like, hey, we've got to take a chance on this guy. Now Hernandez is the player who's charged with murder in Massachusetts.
Right, a tight end who helped them get to the Super Bowl, but has obviously left a negative shadow on the Patriots and certainly the National Football League. So when it comes back to the language part of this equation, are you saying, John, that salty language could or should be banned from locker rooms and sidelines?
I don't think it would be possible. I don't think if you ban cursing, in baseball or football or basketball, you would have nobody on the court, nobody on the field. A friend of mine who is a highly respected basketball writer once said to me that coaches speak two languages, English and profanity. But the difference is going beyond making a point emphatically. I really don't, I mean, translating the a stream of profanity to, I really don't want you to pass the ball like that anymore. Don't do it. To, you know, in the case of Incognito, you're the N-word, you're, you know, I'm going to kill you, you know, this sort of thing is that's a real difference in kind. It's not just a difference in degree, and I think that that's the lesson that sports is starting to hear from society, is that, you know, we really don't think that's okay.
So does this represent a shift in the sports culture?
I think so. I think it's the thin end of the wedge. You know, we've often seen sports be part of cultural changes, and sometimes sports leads and sometimes sports follows. But what I would say is that what the reason it leads or the reason it follows always has to do with getting back to teams try to win. Teams try to win games. They try to win championships. And you know, something that I've pointed out is, you know, when baseball was integrated, certainly Branch Rickey had some religious motivation in terms of signing Jackie Robinson. Bill Veeck, when he brought in Larry Doby to the American League, Veeck was always a maverick with the Cleveland Indians and later on with other teams in his career. But the make no mistake, those guys wanted to win the World Series, wanted to win pennants in the World Series. And in fact, you know, the year after the Indians brought in Doby, they won the last World Series that they won in 1948, and the Dodgers with Robinson won several pennants, and then they finally won in 1955. They won the World Series. So you can't lose sight of the idea that's what sports is really about. It is. There's no question that we see ourselves as a society in sports, but on any given day, in any given season, I think what's happening is that organizations are trying to win ball games.
And one of the things that you point out, John, in your piece, is that the fans are not immune from this. Does the watching of language apply to fans as well? European fans, for example, are notorious for shouting racial slurs and being disruptive at soccer matches. And we've even seen in certainly parts of North America and in Canada where African-American or African-Canadian hockey players are sometimes singled out for racial slurs and abuse.
Sure, I think that's an excellent point, Paul. The particularly in Europe, it's very slowly turning the tide, and in that sense, the United States, I think, is much more progressive than the European countries. I mean, the kind of abuse that African players suffer sometimes in European soccer, European football, is so much greater than what goes on here, and. It's only recently that the governing bodies in Europe, UEFA and FIFA, have started to really do anything in the way of cracking down on teams, you know, penalizing them in terms of points, or fans can't come to games that are in tournaments and that sort of thing.
In society, we certainly are seeing changes. We are certainly seeing different standards of behavior, people being held to a different standard. We have just a few seconds left, but very quickly to sum all this up, when will sports, do you think, catch up with the rest of society in 21st century America?
Penalties get great enough. When it creates difficulty in terms of trying to win, I think that that's the answer. Teams will respond to having an obstacle thrown in their way if they don't comply.
John Affleck is the Knight Chair for Sports Journalism and Society at Penn State. Recently wrote an op-ed piece entitled Words Matter, Even in Sports. Joining us by phone from New York. John Affleck, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.fm or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.